Think of it. I have a deputy appoints a man to write a report on me to make a determination on my presidency. People will not stand for it. Now, with all of that being said, for 2 years we've gone through this nonsense, because there's no collusion with Russia. You know that better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And there's no obstruction. They'll say, oh, well, wait, there was no collusion. That was a hoax. But he obstructed in fighting against the hoax.
There's the president setting up for what may be in 20 minutes from Mark. The release of the Mueller report.
It's what it seems like. Seems like this could be the night.
A.B. Stoddard is going to join us to tell us if she thinks that this might be the night as well. And, of course, you can read A.B. Stoddard. She is the editor of the what started right here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did, didn't it? Didn't Real Clear Politics start right here?
I believe it's started by a Chicago person.
Yes, I think it did.
So,
hold on. Let me get the phone up here so she can answer that.
Well, it's funny because if you've been, the news stations and the cable news in particular certainly believe that this Mueller report is dropping soon. It's, the banners on all the cable stations, like Washington on high alert, bracing for Mueller report. Really, the feeling is out there that tonight, this afternoon, is it.
What do you think?
Yes, I am Mary, quite contrary on this. I think we've all been had. I think that the Mueller team doesn't leak. They don't say anything. So who are the people that are telling reporters, the reporters at ABC, NBC, and CNN, who continuously tell us it's now, it's imminent? And who are the people? Is it Rudy Giuliani who's telling them that? Or is it some DOJ people that want to make the president happy to set up this sort of faux deadline to make it seem like if Mueller extends and goes beyond this that he's up to something no good or he's suffering a breakdown? I mean, because we know that Mueller's team doesn't tell people, yes, this is, they don't tell anything ever.
I have another theory.
Yes, boxes have left the building.
Right.
Some people like Andrew Weissman have left, but I just want to read this tweet because I'm sure you follow her, but Natasha Bertrand of The Atlantic, mm-hmm. she's, all
of
5 years old, but she is a fabulous reporter, and she's all over this story. I'm telling you, she's really knocking her competitors by the wayside on this story most of the time. She says, as we await Mueller's report, it's from an hour ago, a lawyer for Andrew Mueller, the longtime Roger Stone associate, tells me today that Mueller's office still wants Mueller to testify before the grand jury. Mueller has been fighting the subpoena since last summer. Well, we know in January that Mueller extended the grand jury for 6 months. Then there's this whole discussion about whether the counterintelligence stuff will be separate from the report and might come later. Like, this idea that an explosion is going to go off is wrong.
Is it possible that it's not actually going to be the report, but there will be the unsealing or the presentation of sealed indictments?
Yes, that's entirely possible. So there's this, I'm a tea leaf reader on this. So I know all the reporters who have bought into the no new indictments. Now, the grand jury has been quiet since Roger Stone. It was quiet for a long time before Roger Stone. So everyone's saying, well, the grand jury's quiet, so there's no new indictments. But the sealed indictments might have been sealed a while ago, and there are several of them. And they might have to do with the heart of the investigation, where my questions linger, which have to do with Paul Manafort and maybe family members. But the thing is that Judge Amy Berman Jackson, when she sentenced Manafort a week ago, or in Trump time it could be 10 days ago, I don't know, it seems like 6 months ago, well, she was making the statement about how collusion was not part of this charging and the sentencing, and she said collusion. It's something like this. She said, collusion is a non sequitur. It's part of another investigation, which is still ongoing. It has nothing to do with this, essentially. And she knows what Mueller has. And the actual collusion that Paul Manafort was involved in with the Russians, and it might not rise to the level in the legal term of conspiracy, but he was giving Konstantin Kalimnik polling data, and he hung out with plenty of Russians. And we know the Russians were trying to infiltrate the election and the campaigns.
Right.
That part of this has never been told to us. It's not been part of his charging or his sentencing. So is it somewhere in a story yet to be explained? I mean, that's really an important question, right? At the end of this,
I need you to take a breath.
The Russians were attacking our electoral process.
I need you to take a breath. I need you to take a drag on a cigarette, have a sip of bourbon. I don't know what it is right now, but I'm worried about your health because it's...
I spent too many Friday is talking about this.
All right, I can see that. So let me jump in here for a second about Manafort. Is it possible that Manafort was just reckless, stupid, or trying to favor up these people that he owed a bunch of stuff to, and thinking he was going to kind of get even with them, and it wasn't really didn't rise to the level of a crime, but it rise to the level of ultimate stupidity? That's a question that I think we're going to see get answered here in fairly short order. The other piece, I have another theory. You ready for this theory?
Yeah,
yeah.
Is it possible that people keep head faking the president, keeping him on edge Friday after Friday after Friday, because this is the third consecutive Friday we heard it was coming out, right? And they're head faking him to get him to go nuts and maybe provoke him into firing Mueller in the middle of all of this, because it's driving him crazy, which then would be, the end of his presidency, perhaps, or then again, maybe not. I mean, I don't know what happens anymore.
But who are the people that are trying to provoke this?
People who want chaos, or people who think that that's going to end his presidency, or people who want him to take charge. The thing is, there are people, he's getting Lady Macbeth here quite a bit. And I don't think by Melania. I think by a lot of people around him who are trying to provoke him and push him and cajole him and use his own anger and impetuousness against him or the country or to their benefit at some level.
Well, maybe. And maybe you're right. Maybe Paul Manafort is only guilty of money laundering and financial crimes and that sort of thing. But he was so tied up with the Russians that I think that there is a possibility, if those sealed indictments are connected to the special counsel probe, that they have to do with actual colluding with Russians. And it may or may not, as I said, rise to the level of conspiracy. So if you follow people like Garrett Graff, who's just written a book on the FBI, and Bob Mueller, and is, follows this at the granular level, he believes, like some other lawyers, that actually there are stories to come, possible, sealed indictments to be unsealed, because Mueller has intentionally left holes in his indictment so far. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer to any of these questions, but I don't believe it's coming today. I don't believe that Mueller's people have, are the ones convincing everyone that it's coming today. And I know that when it comes, we're facing this huge transparency disclosure fight, and the White House and everyone listening to your program should be prepared for this, is going to say it's a total dud while we're not seeing it.
Right. Yeah. They're going to say it's over. And they won't have seen it either. That's going to be the best.
Well, no, even if they see it and they're begging for the redactions and they're in an executive privilege fight, right? He's still going to spin it as like the biggest hoax of all time and a total joke and a waste of taxpayer dollars while we're all sitting here having no idea what's going on.
FBI Director James, the former FBI Director James Comey, saw his op-ed piece in the New York Times. He also says he has no idea when it's coming. His op-ed was more about, I don't care about that. I care that the work is done well and completely, and that the respect for the Justice Department is restored. He also said that he really wants to confess on one piece of this whole thing. He hopes that the president is not impeached, not removed from office before the end of his term. He thinks that that would be bad for the country and more deeply fracture us as a nation.
Well, thanks, Jim. Nice job with everything else you did.
Yeah. So it's sort of, you sort of turn around and say, well, let's look at your record, I suppose.
Yeah, did a real good job. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
I think that Nancy Pelosi feels the same way about impeachment. She'd rather beat Trump fair and square at the ballot box. But I think that James Comey has a hell of a lot of nerve coming out with an op-ed like yesterday. He just wants to be in the center of everything. But at the same time, Like, let's just join together, the three of us, in like a patriotic moment here. We've talked about this so many times for so long. There is a good point here, which is that Mueller hasn't been fired and this has been allowed to reach a conclusion. We expect it to be, probably not today, but at some point soon. And it wasn't derailed. And he is a stand up guy. We might never have someone like Bob Mueller again. And on that, I'm really grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, all right. For sure.
And I really think most of us outside of the fever swamps of InfoWars are going to trust him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do. I just do. And I really think that it's a process that most people will believe in. And Newt Gingrich wrote this big op-ed about, like, oh, it's just been so, basically, like, he was out to torment everyone in the Trump family, and so he should reveal, you know, everything and disclose the entire report just to show, like, what a bad process it was. And he knows that's BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I am grateful that it's got to this point and it didn't end in, like, a huge constitutional showdown. The next chapter could be pretty bad, but at least we've gotten to this.
That's a nice thought. I got to ask you really quickly, because we asked our financial analyst about this a few minutes ago, about Stephen Moore being nominated to the Fed. Now, I know you know him. I know him. I really personally like Stephen Moore. I think he's a fun, good-hearted guy. But he's gotten very political, and he's written a book about how great the Trump economy is, most of which is not the same economic philosophy that he had been sharing for the last quarter century with cable news viewers, right? He totally changed his own philosophy on this. And it's kind of like, you know, when the president wanted his pilot to head up the FAA and he wanted his doctor to head up the Department of Health. You know, it's like, It's the guy in front of him. It's not necessarily the best candidate.
There is no question. There is, like you, I find him a really nice guy. He really is. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But many people get their jobs from being on television, sort of complimenting Donald Trump.
Yes,
it happens on Fox. Stephen Moore happens to have been on CNN, but it is true. I mean, we can, you know, there's a lot of people that we can point to.
Yes.
And it is sort of, that's like the requisite path, you know, and he just decided, you know, he's down on Jerome Powell but he's not going to kick him out of the Fed chair job. And, you know, he basically just thinks this is great because he's heard him compliment him and like you said, write this book. So I have no idea how this is going to go down. The news sort of changed to the North Korea sanctions after the news of Stephen Moore. But I think everyone knows, you know, what's driving it, the appointment.
Right. I firmly believe. I just want to stop for a second, and I just want you to imagine Barack Obama. I know this is whataboutism, but it's too good. It's Barack Obama naming Trevor Noah as the as the Secretary of State because he's South African, right? And like, you know, it's sort of like I want you to imagine. You talk about a fever swamp. You imagine the exploding heads in America. I mean, that's where we're just caught in this wackiness where we know something is not the way it is supposed to be. This is just totally a different way that people are doing business here.
Yeah.
It's making us all super uncomfortable, but some of us are joyous in it, and others are like, oh my God, I can't believe this.
This has been an especially crazy week, though, because my whataboutism about Obama is always when he goes after private companies. Like, you know, he threatens a boycott on Twitter of Harley Davidson. We can just imagine what would have happened to a Barack Obama had he done that.
Right.
And then GM or whatever.
Yeah,
but then after the McCain, you know, torment all week, he makes Sarah Sanders come out and say he likes Chairman Kim about pulling back these sanctions that, you know, that just yesterday his national security advisor were saying were important for the continued maximum pressure campaign. And he revoked them by tweet and made Sarah Sanders say the president likes Chairman Kim and believes that these will not be necessary.
What do you make? You know what? I know we got a second left.
People start putting like pictures of Otto Warmbier, you know, on Twitter, saying he likes Chairman Kim. I mean,
I got to ask you a question.
It's almost like it's intentional.
I got less than 30 seconds. But you do know Kellyanne and George Conway?
I've known Kellyanne, you know, not well, but because of our work lives for a very long time. I know that George Conway obviously is enjoying this as much as the president. I mean, he barks back and bites back immediately and doesn't let go. Very much a similar, like, dog with a bone on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
But don't you think, I mean, she seems very nonplussed, and mm-hmm. I just think that they have worked this out.
This whole thing's
like,
a bit.
We're all imagining it's an awkward thing, but, like, come on. Of course, like, it's a good cop, bad cop thing that they're at peace with.
This is a gigantic Fox News stunt for it was supposed to be a ratings sweeps stunt, and it's just lasted for 2 years, three years. The whole thing was a stunt. It was a put on. It's the only way I can look at this. And there's other people really running the government right now, and the whole thing is just, it's not really happening. Thank you.
Thanks, AB.
Thank you, AB.
Enjoy your weekend.
Bye. All right, AB Stoddard.
So no Mueller report, according to AB.
Well, he's got six minutes to decide.
Well, is it only 5 o'clock that it would happen? Can't they drop it a little bit later?
Don't they all go home in Washington at 5 o'clock?
And it's Friday,
do.
You know.
Yeah.
You want to get out of there.
You got to get out of
town. Got to get on the train.
Got to get to the Hamptons. Hey, let's talk to Kim. What's happening at the top of the hour?
What's up with Jared Kushner using WhatsApp?
Told you it was going to happen. It did. At the top of the hour, A.B. Stoddard said it wasn't going to happen.
She did.
And we told you it was going to happen at the top of the hour, and it did. At 4 o'clock, the Mueller report was delivered to the Attorney General. Special Counsel has finished his Russia probe and delivered the report. How about that?
So now the Attorney General gets to decide, gets to look over it and decide how much is released to the public.
Right.
How much
hashtag
we get to
Mueller
know.
Friday.
Mueller time.
It's Mueller time. You know, this is a good time to have a beer. Thank God the Knarble wagon is rolling today.
Might be needed.
Yeah. And the proper Knarble cocktailers are going to be here as well.
One of the best bartenders in the world.
We have a statement in from President Trump's personal legal team.
Okay.
And it says, we're pleased the Office of the Special Counsel has delivered its report to the Attorney General. Pursuant to the regulations, Attorney General Barr will determine the appropriate next step. Signed, Rudy Giuliani and Jay Sekulow.
Oh, God. Again, television lawyers. Pursuant to all of the proper things that are going to be doing, the Attorney General is going to place the report in a shredder, a cross shredder, to make sure nobody can put it back together. And we're going to move on because the whole thing is a hoax. It's a lie. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what happens.
It will. And how much of it is public? There are a lot of reasons that some of that information in there would not be public, right? There's some things that should not be public, even if they... you know, the names that would be brought up that may not be charged, but their names would be right. in the report.
And isn't that interesting, though? We've been hearing that if they're not going to be charged, that they're not, that they will redact the names. Right. Because
it's an important step, I think.
Right. Or they may not even be included in the report because this is not about, we investigated this person and we found nothing there, because just the mere fact they were investigating.
Right. They don't hold that up for the public to take a look at.
Yeah.
The fact that you're just investigated.
Tom Skilling, can you believe? Finally, 2 years later, here we are. Tom Skilling brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
I'll tell you, a moment of history. It'll be interesting to see where all this goes. Now the fun begins, huh? Like it hasn't been interesting up to this point in time. Wow. It's consumed the country on all sides. People wondering what in the world they're going to say. So it will be interesting.
Yeah, this is not going to happen immediately. This is going to be, now that it's in, the fight will be about what will come out. And we're going to go through, I think we'll see weeks of that, you know, maybe even months of that. My God, if the president has his way, years of it until after November of 2020. But it'll be something.
It will. Yeah. I remember who's the fellow who comments at times, the former CIA fellow, Nance is his name, I think.
No.
He's a talking head. He's a commentator, and he used to work for the CIA. He's written a book. He made the comment, if anybody tries to bury this, there'll be a truck parked in front of the New York Times with an amazing data dump that goes on there.
Yeah.
As everybody looks to see what...
Bob Bear? Is that what you're talking
or
about?
No.
Hayden?
Michael Hayden?
No. No, I should know. Darn, I tell you, he's been on many, many shows over there.
Texters will know. And they
Sorry.
Hold on 1 second here, Tom. I want you to can you stick around a little
bit
on this? Because this is kind of interesting stuff.
Yes.
All right, A.B. Stoddard was just on with us in the last half hour, and A.B. said this is never going to come out today. It's just, we're done with this. And I said this whole thing's a head fake to try to get the president to go nuts and fire Robert Mueller. And it turns out, but I was still holding the that something was going to come out. I thought they were going to unseal indictments at 4 o'clock. That we're being told here that the Russia probe is finished by Bob Mueller. Is that what you're seeing as well, AB?
Yeah, I hope you guys are going to put this on my tombstone, but I told you emphatically it wasn't coming. But this guy and his fetish with 5 o'clock on Friday is hilarious. I just didn't believe when I got off the phone with you at like 3 minutes to five that it
literally
happened.
It was no sooner that you got off the phone with us that the Washington Post reporter tweeted,
A friend of mine who works at CBS heard it before it was online and texted me right as I got off the phone with you. But anyway, here we are. I guess it's going to be quite a weekend. It sounds like Barr alerted the Judiciary Committee to this at 5 p.m., and he had gotten the report earlier this afternoon. But you know, he's going to be looking. He's not going to. He doesn't have his summary finished, so he's going to be making those decisions over the weekend. And the summary, you know, is everything, as we were discussing earlier, in terms of what he thinks he has to keep out of it.
AB, that's my question about it. Will we actually get to see a piece of the Mueller report, albeit redacted, or is it all in Attorney General Barr's language? Does he rewrite it for the public?
Great question.
Oh, he definitely does. His summary leaves out classified information, you know, things, sources and methods, things that have to be left out. And then the big question that looms is what all started with this conversation on July 5th of 2016 with then FBI Director Jim Comey coming out and having that press conference, because what he basically did was in so many ways kind of politically indicted Hillary Clinton but emphasizing that, oh, no prosecutor would bring this case. The declinations, the decisions not to indict people, are supposed to leave them out of the summary of the findings. And so that's been this concern, right? You see all this pressure for oversight in the Congress. The Democrats want to tell the complete story because they started to see that Mueller was likely to follow the justice policy guidelines, and obviously Attorney General Bill Barr would, and that we would hear about people who did, you know, who got across the legal threshold and broke laws, but people who didn't were going to be left out. So I think the summary is going to stick with, you know, crimes, and then again, remember, the White House is still going to then on top of that be making a case for things, executive privilege and that kind of thing.
And they're going to tell us how great he comes out in it, and nobody will know, as you made the point earlier. But there are sealed indictments still sitting there. When do those indictments get unsealed? And if the grand jury is still going on, why do they extend the grand jury until the middle of May?
Right. I don't know, and what's going on with Andrew Miller, and what's going on with Rick Gates' sentencing. He's still cooperating with several other investigations. I think that Donald Trump is still worried about what's going on in the Southern District of New York and what they're looking at. And I think that you'll see the House Democrats pay close attention to that story, dragging everyone from Alan Weisselberg, you know, Michael Cohen, all Trump family members, everyone through the ringer on that. But in terms of what we're going to learn was left out of Mueller's investigation and what was part of it, remember, his mandate was broad. It was like anything he stumbles upon, right, is still isn't in his purview. But we haven't really known exactly what he stuck to. So that's what we need to learn. And then we would find, you know, then we can come to the conclusion and the lawyers will help us with what buckets other stuff lands in. And I think that the House Democrats started to realize that it might be so vague, and it might be like the midterm elections, like the punch of the story comes so much later that the headline is it was a nothing. And so that's why you see them sort of pushing for these investigations, because they don't have to indict people. They just want to, you know, have a rich narrative of what's going on from the Trump organization to the Trump campaign, to the Trump inauguration, to the Trump transition, to the Trump presidency.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let the Southern District handle the rest of the indictments. Yeah. AB, thank you very much. I know you're on deadline again. Get right.
No, I'm going to just go eat some crow and shoes and be wrong for the weekend. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Bourbon, I suggest.
Right, I know. Bourbon. That's the most important thing we can do at this moment. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing some. Tom. I have a weird sort of sense of kind of a weird relief. Like, okay, it got done. you know? And so that. Whatever, well, however it breaks out, whatever happens, it happened.
Malcolm Nance is the one that you were
looking
for.
That's exactly who I was thinking of.
And
yes.
You're right, our smart listeners are, of course, letting us know.
Yes, yes. I couldn't think of his name, and I ought to be taken to the woodshed for that. By the way, I've got some great crow sauce over here. We have a lot of it in the weather office because we tend to put that on our meals frequently over here, you know, in this line of work. So
prognostication, it's a tough
yes,
sort of business.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
What
did,
this
what
was
day.
Rumored to come out, like as you were pointing out earlier, Rob. So many Fridays. It was it. This we, was there were yeah. there were news staffs that were put on hold to work all weekend long after the
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today, we were told that it was coming out, and we were told with absolute certainty. And there was all these Washington guys were texting each other, and then I was texting some of my friends, and I'm like, "Hey, what are you hearing?" And everybody was like, whoop. Last, and that was, it was so funny. I was at a dinner the night before, and I go, "Well, we got to work late tomorrow night because the Mueller report's going to come out."
Yeah,
and the guy goes, "Really, the Mueller report's going to come out?" Yeah. And then, on that Saturday, the guy calls me, and goes, "Are you an idiot?" So I was only missed it by 2 weeks, but you know, here we are.
Yeah,
and I think it's, we won't know anything, I think, of any great substance over the weekend.
Can you imagine the shoe leather that's going to be expended now in the days and weeks ahead as reporters try to call, you know, check with sources and find out what's been in this report?
Right. Well, the Attorney General has to share the substance of it with the Senate and House Judiciary Committee.
Yes.
And you wonder, even though Mueller was exceptionally good in his team of keeping it rather leak-proof, this whole 22-month process, but now you wonder, once it starts getting into the halls of Congress, if that's...
Well, will it? Here's the other question. The report by Bill Baer. Wait, no. Hold on. There are too many guys. Bob Barr. Oh. By the Attorney General will make it. He's required to submit a report.
Right.
So that'll get to Congress. But, you know, but it could be as simple as, "Hey, there's nothing to see here. Mueller exonerated him. That's as far as we go. Thank you and good night." And he could do that. I mean, he's legally capable of doing
that. He's saying, right now, Attorney General William Barr said he, in a letter to Congress, he will most likely be able to provide lawmakers with principal conclusions as soon as this weekend. So maybe more to follow after that. But as soon as this weekend, they will have some details.
Well, you know something, the country has gone through this for 2 years, and I don't know about you guys, I'm curious to hear what they found after all this. You
right.
know?
I want to know everything.
It's incredible.
Not interested
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm very, very interested.
Yes, so I think we all are. But, you know, everybody, it's funny. It's like a Rorschach test, right? Because it's like everybody's bringing their own interpretation
baggage
to this,
to it,
right?
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, I know. Oh, you're going to prove everything." And then you're like, "It's going to prove nothing." And it's going to prove, I mean, depends on who it is. But if you're the president, though, you got to stop. You got to think about this. Because you know some of the stuff that happened. And let's say that the president, although, you know, he's never, ever fibbed or misled us in any way, shape, or form. But let's just assume for a second that, you know, he believes that he had nothing to do with this and the people around him weren't actually colluding. Maybe the kids, you know, took some inopportune meetings and that they probably shouldn't have. But just imagine all of that. But he's got to stop and think, yeah, but what did... Especially when it comes to Don Jr., right? He's like, "What did Don Jr. do?" And again, there are sealed indictments that sit there.
Is that right? That's for a fact, is it?
That is for fact. There are sealed indictments.
Mueller has come up with.
Yeah, those things are like 8, 10, 12 weeks old, something like that.
Wow.
And they've been sitting there from before Christmas. So however long it's been.
What happens with those now?
That was the question we just asked AP, which is perhaps nothing. Maybe the whole thing just gets shifted over to the Southern District of New York and let them handle it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't necessarily unseal those indictments. So the question is, you know, who else is being indicted? Now, we can assume Roger Stone is one of those people, right? I mean, Roger Stone has already been, charged and he's in court, but he's not, you know, it's not a clear unsealed indictment that lays out the exact charges against him.
Right.
Right. What do they call an information? Mike Monaco is going to join us coming up in a few minutes to explain that.
Okay.
Oh, that will be an interesting fella to talk to.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Yeah, not that he has any skin in this game.
No, none at all. I always saw him behind Cohen,
yes.
You know, right. All day long.
He looked, hearings.
I'll tell you, you know, there are certain people you look at and they just ooze credibility, and he's one of them, you know?
Well, he's also fashionable.
Very well dressed.
Yes, he is.
He's fashionable.
Well,
yes. And you go, if that's why, if you are ever in trouble, you want Mike Monaco
yes,
as your
indeed,
lawyer.
Yes, indeed, I would think.
Right, because when he saunters into the court, I've been in the courtroom with Michael a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
Watching him work. Very rarely on my behalf, but every once in a while he has that too. And when he walks into the courtroom, there's just an air. I mean, there's a very famous courtroom artist,
mm-hmm.
Andy Austin. She worked at ABC for many, many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and she did a book about where she did a lot of like the big trials and then her work from the trials showing the people. And there's one trial, and I can't remember, Mike, I think it was, oh, Tylenol, I think it was. Mike prosecuted Tylenol.
Wow, is that right?
Yes.
Boy, there's a blast from the past right there. Yeah.
And they show him in the courtroom on the Tylenol murders.
Mm-hmm.
And she describes him as, you know, almost like a Roman god walking into the, honest to God. And it was like, it was like one of those things like, wow.
I know.
He has a presence, that's
yes,
for sure.
Does. He does.
So, all right. Okay, well, let us depart here. What, the weekend?
Weekend, beautiful start. A little warmer tomorrow afternoon and kind of rainy. The wind with time will turn off the lake Sunday, so not a great day. But we got to get up to 50 tomorrow. Compared to what we've been through, that's going to feel like spring.
It's pretty nice. It's
yeah.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys, have a wonderful... I'm dying to hear the rest of the show because there's plenty to talk about
yes.
here.
Yes, there is. Yeah. Mike Monaco will join us after the news at the bottom of the hour. Thank you very much,
Tom.
You bet. Ro and Anna, talk to you later, guys.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Let's check in now. Find out from Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news?
The wait is over. The Mueller report has been delivered.
Well, it's always interesting to me because a deputy that didn't get any votes appoints a man that didn't get any votes. He's going to write a report on me. I had one of the greatest election victories in history. Would you say that's true?
Yes, absolutely.
They came from the valleys. They came from the rivers. They came from the cities. They came from all over. They voted in one of the greatest elections in the history of our country. And now I have a man that, because we have an attorney general who nobody can even believe that he didn't tell me, but he recused himself.
That interview alone with Fox Business could be evidence before it's all said and done. Mike Monaco, he is our legal analyst and, of course, also slightly limited in what he can talk about here because he represents Michael Cohen now in numerous legal matters mm-hmm. on many fronts. But can you explain? I know. Mike's like, I do?
How are you?
Hi, Mike. We miss you.
Yes.
How are you, Anna?
I'm good.
I missed you. I was there this week. I missed you.
Oh.
Yes, that's true. You were here on Monday. The only thing with Mike, though, is I called him this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I had so many things on my mind, I forgot exactly what it was I said. And he goes, I'm busy here. I'm busy. Are you watching the news?
Ro was trying to text you during the Cohen testimony to see if you'd laugh or something.
Yeah,
you're
too
fun.
Much
thanks,
of a professional.
Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to see if you, and also watch you actually pick up your phone and look at it. All right, listen. I tell me now what is the process here? Because the report has been submitted to the Attorney General.
Right, and the Attorney General is going to review it, and the Attorney General is going to report. I assume going to give it to Congress. He's got to give it to Congress, I think, and then Congress is going to have to decide what to do with it. I assume the House just voted 400-something to 0.
420.
420-0 that they think the report should be made public.
Right.
And the president yesterday said, or 2 days ago said, that he thinks the report should be made public.
Yeah, but he says so many things.
Well, let's talk about what's likely not in it, though, Mike, because they're saying that the names of people who Mueller decided not to charge will not be in it because that would not be fair to those people, that ongoing law enforcement operations would not be in it, grand jury proceedings wouldn't, classified intelligence information, of course, wouldn't be in it. But when it comes down to what is in it, how much discretion does the Attorney General Barr really have here in terms
he has
of what
a lot
to
of discretion.
Wait. I want to stop and clarify something, though, that Anna's asking, because I want to... That will not be in the report that we see. Is it in the Mueller report?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm not... I think that names of people who are not going to be indicted will be in the report.
in a report to the Justice Department, but the Justice Department will not release those.
I'm just talking about what will be released to the public. You wouldn't intelligence information or grand jury proceedings would not obviously become public.
Right. Now, apparently, he is given to U.S. Attorney's offices in Virginia and D.C. and elsewhere potential cases that he thinks should be brought against people. So I expect that may happen down the road. But with respect to what Attorney General Barr is going to do with the report, he talked about that. He said he'll turn over that which he is entitled to turn over, or that by rule or regulation he has.
Michael
to turn
Cohen's
over.
Head right there back there. We're just listening to his to what's inside Michael Cohen's head.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So he's going to give us a report, and he says now. I mean, there's reporting.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have it.
It's
didn't tell
Bloomberg.
Us.
Bloomberg's reporting that he says that actually a letter to Congress, and they have a picture of the letter to Congress that he's going to provide lawmakers this weekend, as early as this weekend, with the principal conclusions.
Now, what about these unsealed indictments? These sealed indictments, I'm sorry. The sealed indictments that were let 3 months ago. What happens to those? Do they just get moved over to another prosecutorial agency? Do they disappear? Do they sit still somewhere in Maine Justice in Washington? What goes on?
If they are indictments from the special counsel, and people who work for the special counsel's office will either continue them or they'll be transferred to a local jurisdiction, I assume.
Is that standard in most cases? If you have
you say most cases. It's not that usual to have a special counsel.
No, I understand. But
once you have a special counsel, all rules are off.
But sealed indictments are not necessarily that unusual.
No, sealed indictments are very, very common. For one reason or another, here, if they're sealed, how do you know they're sealed? By the way, where was that reported?
That's been reported for months. Months ago, there were sealed indictments.
See, you know everything, Ro.
I know. By the way, don't tell your client they're sealed indictments.
Because
God knows what's in those. Yeah.
I'm very impressed, Ro, that you know that they're sealed indictments.
Yeah.
So it depends on, as I said, so the special counsel's office doesn't go away necessarily. They may continue to operate and continue to bring cases like this, like the ones that are sealed, or they may transfer them to local jurisdictions.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so principal conclusions.
That's interesting.
That's what he says, principal conclusions. But
now, can I also say something else that's important here, too? We now are being told that this report got to the Attorney General's office hours ago, which means, and you know, it's not going to like, he's going to get there and he's going to go, you know what, I'm going to go out for a cigarette first and not look at it. You know that they were going through it. I don't know how long the initial, you know, whatever the summary is that you look at. But, you know, assuming it takes an hour to get through that, you know, he would have an idea about what he wants to do. And you know this guy, right? You know Bill Barr?
Yeah, I know Bill Barr.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's a good lawyer, right?
He's a good lawyer. Now, the question is this, I suppose, the number one question, does Mueller's report say that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Russians in Russia who were working on behalf of Mr. Trump? That's the million-dollar question, and I'll be interested to hear what they have to say.
The president.
Hold on. You got to let that resonate. Because
yeah.
This is Michael Cohen's attorney saying that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Did you hear how he said what he just said? That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
I'll be interested to hear what he has to say about that.
Mm, very interesting.
But there was a report yesterday in the New York Times that said it may be great for the Republicans, may be great for President Trump if Mueller produces a report that does not say that the president's campaign colluded with Russians.
Right. Well, the president's already saying that's what it says. He hasn't read it, but he says that's what it says.
Well, he also has said in the past, and his lawyers have said, they'd like an opportunity, I think Giuliani said, would like an opportunity to respond to anything that is appeared to be damaging to the president. But how much back and forth can there be or will there be between the president and Attorney General Barr before it becomes public?
God only knows what the president's going to say to Attorney General Barr. but there shouldn't be any. There shouldn't be any communication between them. The Attorney General has got to decide on his own what he should do, and the president should not play a role in his decision. Now, is that likely? No, it's probably not likely. The president's, from everything he's done so far, it looks like he's going to try to play a role in this decision, but we'll have to see.
Why wouldn't these sealed indictments, because I'm getting confirmation from our people in Washington right now who are monitoring what we're talking about here, because they want to hear what you have to say about this, these indictments have not been unsealed, and there was some expectation that they would have been unsealed today. What do we learn? What do we learn about? Now we know that they may be sent somewhere else, mm-hmm. but tactically, what do you think is going on there?
Well, Mueller has played his cards very close to the vest, and filing sealed indictments. Now we have no idea who they are. And so they're, the mind can boggles to figure out who might
be
charged.
Anybody, right? Yeah.
It could be anybody, but so it looks like Monday is going to be a big day, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless he's going to release it before Monday.
And then you wonder. Democrats are saying that they want the underlying evidence. They want to feel confident that Barr is returning over enough to them in order to consider what actions they might want to take moving forward. So it feels as if there'll be some legal challenges beyond once it's turned over to Congress.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. That's for sure. There were definitely going to be legal challenges. And you already know that several of the chairmen in the House, at least, have said that they're going to seek a copy of the report and turn over the report to the public.
Yeah.
They've already said that.
Right. All right. I want to just ask you this before we let you go. Based on your hunch, based on all of the things that you have watched transpire here over the last 2 years, and given your best legal, just speculation here, just pure speculation, and on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of what could come out here, do you think the White House should be 5 being it's a bad stuff, but not really, not going to take us down. 0 being they totally exonerate us, and 10 is batten down the hatches and see if we can lock the doors and keep the guards out.
Yeah, I think it'd be between 5 and 10.
Between 5 and 10, would you say?
Yeah.
7 or 8?
Sure, it's a funny. This is like the game we used to play.
Yes, he loves
legal?
These games.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I got enough out of 5 and 10.
Goodbye.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You. Goodbye.
Bye, bye, Mike.
Bye. All right. For God's sake. All right, yeah. Evan McMullen joins us right now. He ran for president, he's a former CIA guy, mm-hmm. and been very critical of the president of the United States, and been asking publicly, for this investigation to be as thorough as possible. Mr. McMullen, what are your thoughts on the fact that now the Mueller report has been handed over to the Attorney General?
First and foremost, I'm thrilled that we're at least to this milestone in the process. We've had this investigation ongoing for 2 years. We've learned a lot from the special counsel already in all of his indictments and court filings. But there's a lot we don't know still, obviously, and we know that for a fact because a lot of the filings have been so heavily redacted. And so hopefully this report will give us more of that information that was redacted in all the other court filings and that maybe didn't make their way into public court filings at all. So we seem to learn a lot, we'll see what that is exactly.
Well, yeah, but do you feel like this is going to be consequential, or was this just a gigantic ho-hum?
Well, no, I don't think there's any way, given what we already know, that this is ho-hum. I think, in fact, I know there are other details that are significant that I hope will be revealed in this process. But I think what we do already know publicly is significant enough to, on a political level. I'm not an attorney, so I won't speak to that. But we have a president who pursued a business transaction, a major business transaction, in Russia that required the help of Vladimir Putin. He secretly pursued that during the campaign. At the same time, Vladimir Putin supported his candidacy, and at the same time, Trump ran interference for that attack on our democracy while carrying Russian propaganda messages to the American people. So That should be enough. That is serious corruption. That's enough, I think, for us to decide politically that we need to hold this kind of person accountable, in an election or potentially, depending on what we learn, in impeachment. But that is very, very serious. And we know, of course, publicly much, much more than that. All of these connections between Trump's campaign and the Russians, Paul Manafort providing targeting data to a Russian intelligence associate, contacts with WikiLeaks, and Guccifer 2.0, these Russian intelligence proxies, yeah, as well as all the other contacts. So it's what we know already is highly troubling. There's more to learn. I think we'll learn more. But from a political perspective, we have to get to a place, the American people, where we look at something like this and we say, this is unacceptable. And so we'll see what more we learn. I think we will learn a lot more. But what we know already is damning enough, in my view, on a political level.
You used a word there, Evan, I think is interesting. You see, you know something. Right. And we just talked to Mike Monaco, who's Michael Cohen's attorney, and he also intimated, clearly said he would be surprised if there, wasn't something important that was going to come out of here, but he also knows what his client has said. So what his client has presented, mm-hmm, whether they believe what his client presents is a separate issue, but he knows what's been proffered by his client. Mm-hmm. So there are real consequential things here in front of us. The question is, yeah, will this attorney general let them out? What will the White House try to do to stop that?
Yeah, well, let me say more specifically, what I'm referring to is just more information about contacts between Trump's team and the Russians. And I think there will be more on that. And we'll see what kind of impact that has from a public opinion perspective. That's not clear to me. And legally, that's a question as well. But because we're dealing with the president, especially in this, he's the most important figure in all of this, and DOJ regs sort of stand in the way of his indictment. Ultimately, this is a political question. This is a question for the American people. Do you want a president of the United States pursuing business deals with a country that is attacking us, with a regime, a foreign dictatorial regime that's attacking our democracy? Are we going to stand for that? That, I think, is the central question here. We'll see what other details come, but we know, we should know enough, in my view, to conclude that this is not something we can tolerate.
Evan, I want to ask you about a piece of news that's coming out with the Mueller report dropping. There, the reporting is out there that Mueller did not issue any final indictments before turning in his report, but then the issue is out there, are there sealed indictments? And we were talking about that earlier. What is your view on that?
Well, I would be surprised if there's no additional action, either in terms of sealed indictments or other offshoot investigations that the special counsel has sort of turned over, having done what it felt it was narrowly asked to do. But we just don't know. So it's just hard to imagine that, just a few weeks ago, Roger Stone's home was raided, and they collected a bunch of information there. We learned that Paul Manafort had turned over targeting data to the Russians. There was a bunch of redacted court filings, and it's just hard to imagine that this is where it stops. We also know nothing about obstruction of justice by the administration, which, in my view, there clearly has been. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems clear, starting with Comey's firing and all the other firing and demotions at DOJ and FBI of anyone involved in the Russia investigation, the president's own statements. And we've heard nothing from the special counsel at all on potential obstruction of justice. And so I just think there's so much that we've sort of gotten glimpses of, but not heard anything final. And by the way, this is an important point. It may be that the special counsel decides not to address certain things that are corrupt but not illegal, and that's the role of Congress. That's why I've been calling for a long time for Congress to do its investigations, and now they're starting to in the House. But there are certain things that may not trip a legal tripwire because maybe our laws haven't caught up to this kind of challenge, but that Congress will need to take up itself.
Evan, thank you very much. I know you're in an airport in Salt Lake, and waiting to get on a plane. We really appreciate you taking time with us. Evan McMullen. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
my
Evan.
Pleasure.
All right. He ran for president, as you know, a very vocal critic, former CIA agent, and he is was one of those guys who was like, are we not paying attention to what's happening here? And he just articulated right there about, mm-hmm. you know, a foreign adversary coming after us in terms of the Russians, and why aren't we taking this more seriously? All right, well, we'll find out. Here it is, the moment we have all been waiting for. The Mueller report has been handed over to the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr. We're going to find out, we think, as maybe as early as Sunday, as late as Monday or Tuesday, what he's going to tell Congress, because Congress is going to blab it the minute they get it.
Don't you think?
Oh, for sure. So we will see what happens there. Stay right here. More to come. Let's check in now with Kim. What's happening at the top of the hour?
Roe will bring you President Trump's initial reaction to the release of the Mueller report.
It's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. We are going to get through the top five and five relatively quickly here, and then more analysis on the Mueller report has been submitted to the Attorney General of the United States, and Bob Mueller is wheels up. See you later. Nice to know you.
Yeah, my guess is we won't be hearing from him anytime soon.
Here's my question. What if Bob Mueller gets on an airplane and leaves the country? Should we also
read something
suit?
Into that? Oh, should we leave?
All right.
I'd like to know where he goes.
Yes.
What he does after 22 months of this kind of rigorous investigation.
Great if he showed up like on Kimmel tonight. You know?
Karaoke
and cars recording.
Right.
I've been waiting. I've got some good stuff.
All right, Richard Roper. Hold on one second. Let's get to the top five and five. Okay. We'll continue on here.
It's the top five on the Roe Con Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, a special Mueller edition of the top five at five.
Number five.
So the president sits down with Fox Business. What we used to call her the money honey, Maria Bartiromo, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's not allowed.
Mm.
Why not?
Because I think it's like it's post-Me Too. I don't think you're allowed to say that.
Mm.
So the president talks about he must have known this was coming, because he sat down late last night and started running this morning with Maria Bartiromo, and it seemed to be very much on his mind, the release of the Mueller report, and especially what was really ticking him off was Jeff Sessions.
Well, it's always interesting to me because a deputy that didn't get any votes appoints a man that didn't get any votes, he's going to write a report on me. I had one of the greatest election victories in history. Would you say that's true?
Yes, absolutely.
They came from the valleys, they came from the rivers, they came from the cities, they came from all over. They voted in one of the greatest elections in the history of our country. And now I have a man that, because we have an attorney general who nobody can even believe that he didn't tell me, but he recused himself.
Because he was legally obligated to do it.
Yeah.
And that we don't vote for our law enforcement here.
Well,
that's not what we do in the United States.
No.
That's not how this works.
And do you know how hard it is, though, to get the people from the rivers, the people that live in the rivers, to vote for you? As he mentioned, the valleys and the rivers. The people came from the valleys and the rivers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Poetic.
Okay.
All right.
They were wet.
Checking in at
number four.
But this is a pretty great moment right here. He said that if there's stuff that is negative about the president, this country is not going to be happy.
Think of it. I have a deputy appoints a man to write a report on me to make a determination on my presidency. People will not stand for it. Now, with all of that being said, for 2 years we've gone through this nonsense because there's no collusion with Russia. You know that better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And there's no obstruction. They'll say, oh, well, wait, there was no collusion. That was a hoax. But he obstructed in fighting against the hoax.
How would Maria Bartiromo know that there's no collusion?
Anybody.
Was she in on the Mueller team?
Better than anybody.
Discussions.
was that. Now, but then he turned it away from that. And you could tell he's anxious. And I don't know if this whole McCain thing has been about a distraction so that we don't think about this. But
Number three.
Senator John McCain is dead. Why are you doing this? He can't punch back. I know you punch back,
no,
but he's dead.
I don't talk about it. People ask me the question. I didn't bring this up. You just brought it up. You asked the question.
Well, you talked about it this week.
You asked me the question. When I went out yesterday to the scrum, they asked me the question. When they asked me the question, I answered the question. But you people bring it up. I don't bring it up. I'm not a fan. He was horrible what he did with repeal and replace. It was what he did to the Republican Party and to the nation and to sick people that could have had great health care was not good. So I'm not a fan of John McCain, and that's fine.
But the only reason we're asking the question is because he tweeted about it.
Right, he started it.
Over the weekend. It wasn't like there was like people
was in a bubble.
Right, started saying, hey, you know what about that John McCain? No, he's been dead. Do you still hate him? It's not like that. Yeah. It's
maybe that little blue cartoon bird on Twitter talks to him and asked him the question.
Number two.
Do you feel a responsibility as president to bring the nation together?
I do, and I think I am in a certain way bringing it together. I can tell you that a big portion of this nation is united like it's never been united before. You look at our economy, you look at jobs. I think I am bringing it together. I think I'm bringing it together.
Not by talking about John McCain.
I just said, you brought up a question, Maria. I didn't bring it up. I didn't mention John McCain until you asked me a question about John McCain. Now, I could say I have no comment, but that's not me. But you shouldn't have brought it up. Actually, I thought you weren't supposed to bring it up, but that's okay.
What?
Oops.
Getting testy there.
So she agreed to preconditions for the interview with the president.
Yeah, well, that's funny you said that, because Mediaite was reporting that they were that the Trump team had requested it, but it wasn't agreed upon.
I can't believe you brought it up. You weren't supposed to bring it up. You're going to go to journalism jail. And now the Trump presidency changes forever here, one way or the other. It either goes into the completely exonerated or partially exonerated, or at least enough of an exoneration for him to claim exoneration, or it goes into a very deep, dark spiral. No two things, that you can't have anything in between that, because the report is in and it will be definitive. They'll fight over how much gets out, but it will be definitive and it will get out eventually. So in this last interview, before all of that starts, here is how Donald Trump went out.
Number one.
Fake news every once in a while.
It's not fake news. You just told me why you have an issue with him.
A very serious issue. He handed something to the FBI on me. He knew it was a fake. He handed it to the FBI. That's an issue.
And now we're going to get
repeal and replace of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. He campaigned for years. That's an issue. But I didn't bring it up, Marie. You did.
He's mad at her now.
Okay, there you go.
She's off the list.
He didn't even read it. He handed it right over. So he doesn't even know if it's a fake or it's not a fake. That's what you got to do. You get handed a piece of evidence that says that it's, you know, something about a major investigation. Is he supposed to read it and go, I'm just going to throw it away? Because I want to be loyal to Donald Trump, because he's so loyal to everybody else around him. All right. Stand by. Well, more on this right after.
The top five at five.
Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Both sides of the aisle weighing in on the release of the Mueller report.
Now, Robert Mueller never received a vote. And neither did the person that appointed him. And as you know, the attorney general says, I'm going to recuse myself. And I said, why the hell didn't he tell me that before I put him in? How do you recuse yourself?
I got to ask Pat Brady, who's our junior legal analyst.
That's not right.
Wow.
He gets to sit at the little kids' table.
Do you prefer deputy legal analyst? What do you prefer? Anyway, here's...
Don't answer.
Don't answer
the question, sir.
As your attorney, I tell you not to answer the question. All right, Pat, let me ask you this. If you... if you're listening, you're a lawyer, you understand how this works, you worked in the Justice Department, you worked even in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. God bless them. I think I understand the Constitution. What does it have to do when the president goes, well, they didn't get a vote and they're casting judgment over me? That's not how this works.
No, and it's separation of powers, three branches of government that most people understand. But to his base, that's his dog whistle, the same stuff he says all the time. And he knows, I think he fundamentally knows it's a lie or not true. But he says it anyway. It's part of his, probably right now, he's just loading up tweets, figuring out what's going to be in this report.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, Let's talk about a little bit of the now that the report has been, the Mueller report handed over to William Barr, the Attorney General. The Attorney General is saying he wrote a letter, and the letter has now been they took a picture of the letter, and now we can see the letter, and it says that he's going to issue a report with conclusions in the next couple of days to Congress. Now, what Congress decides to do with it, or where the White House tries to gum up the works on that, you know, we'll just have to see. But assuming that does happen, does the president? What does the president do if? Because you know, after all of this, it's not going to say, "Oh, nothing happened here."
Well, then it's just a political football. And let's take a little step back. Too, typically, in any investigation, big, long, complex ones, the Justice Department doesn't issue a report. They barely even tell you they're not looking at you anymore. So this is unique for this kind of investigation to actually have a report. It's just the way that the statute was created to allow this office to be created. So this is somewhat unique. But right now, and I think we've thought this for a couple of years, it's going to be a political football. And I think the political winds are blowing against any kind of impeachment, no matter what's in this report, because it's just bad politics.
And Pat, isn't it also true? I mean, they're saying that there are no more indictments coming from Mueller, right? He's done. So on one level, at least, if you're Jared or some other folks like that, aren't you already thinking this is somewhat of a victory?
Oh, yeah. They will spin it as a victory, but and I agree, if they didn't indict somebody already, they weren't going to issue this report until they were done. But there are investigations going on in other jurisdictions, including the very aggressive Southern District of New York, which are looking at the Trump financial world, which to me is a lot more fertile grounds than the collusion thing, which is always a stretch or conspiracy, because it's just too hard to prove.
Let's talk about Attorney General William Barr and what he puts in the report, the piece of this that becomes public, because it seems like he has wide discretion in terms of what he decides to tell the public, but also to Congress, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has a whole lot of discretion. Remember, the way that this is set up is because it's a result, direct result of what happened in the Ken Starr report against Clinton. I don't know if you've read that, but if you read the footnotes in that report, all the salacious Monica details were in there, and it was too much. So they limited this, and they allow the Attorney General to put out a report that's a lot more limited, but it does raise questions on, you know, what else was in the report.
The White House has also, Sarah Sanders has responded, because a lot of reporters are saying, well, William Barr has already told the president some of the things that are in it, and they've pushed back on that pretty strongly to say that he has not been briefed or received or had any discussions about it, because that wouldn't be right, would it?
Well, how can anybody believe anything that comes out of there, though, right?
No. You know, Bill Barr is a long-standing lawyer, a guy with an incredible reputation. He's not going to screw up his legacy by doing something to protect Donald Trump, no matter what Donald Trump thinks.
All right. There's all this talk about the sealed indictments from months ago, and right before Christmas or in December, there was an announcement that there were sealed indictments had been filed.
Right.
Now, what happens to those indictments? I'm asking all the lawyers I can, and now that you're in a windstorm, this is a perfect time to ask you. He's on the 17th hole. He's approaching the green right now.
Sorry to pull you off the golf course.
I wonder.
No, I'm still on the course.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I doubt it.
You wouldn't.
Yeah. I just turn away from the wind.
Give me I wanted a lime. A lime. No. Okay. I'm sorry.
What do you think happens to those sealed indictments? Do they just get moved to another jurisdiction, or do they put them in a shredder?
I'm not sure if they conclusively established those were Mueller indictments, did they? I mean, there's a lot of indictments that go through that courthouse. I never saw that they tied them up that way.
That's my understanding of it, and that's everybody. And our little text chain from all the screaming heads in Washington right now, that's one of the questions that they're asking.
That question, whether or not they're Mueller indictments, or they could
no. What would if they are Mueller indictments? What happens to them?
Well, which is kind of odd. Some of the timing of all this has been kind of odd. But if Weissman and the big prosecutors have already gone back to other jobs, I can't imagine you're going to work an investigation for 2 years and not want to be the prosecutor. So I can't believe that these are big enough to make a huge difference. Otherwise, they would have hung around to do it.
Do you seal the indictment as a way to try to get somebody to cooperate, and then their cooperation turns out to not be enough to really make a difference, so it goes away?
Well, I think you do queen for a day, bring them in, figure out what they're going to say, but you don't that's just not the regular order. These may be really insignificant indictments, or they may not even be Mueller indictments. They could just be from the D.C. district.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know, they're sealed for a reason.
Yes. Well, they are sealed for a reason. And I'd like to get them unsealed. I'd like to see what's going on there. All right. Yeah. Well, Pat, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And you can get back. See, the problem is Pat has to figure out how he's going to nestle the cell phone against his ear with his shoulder while he's still putting. That is, it's a very difficult thing to do.
We can tell he's doing that.
Hey, am I going to see you this weekend, Earl?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
We'll be playing golf in Arizona, whether we like it or not.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah, I saw a cloud today. It's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, goodbye.
Yeah.
See, it's still good to be an American.
Accidentally kicked his ball out of the rough while on the phone with you guys here, too.
That, that doesn't count.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm working.
Yeah,
I'm working
over here. Distracted.
I'm the junior deputy legal analyst of the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis in Chicago.
He loved that part, I could tell.
Very loves it. All right, let's talk to Kim Gordon. She's got a news brought to you by AppleChevy.com.